Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's been quite a week for Americans who've learned that almost nothing in their daily lives is not being impacted by the coronavirus outbreak. There are over 1,700 cases of it in the United States. Over 40 people have died of it. New Rochelle, New York, northern New York City, has the highest cluster of cases in the nation. And this morning, a drive-through mobile coronavirus testing facility is open there. This man was one of the first to show up.
Everybody's so afraid and paranoid. Like, my own family in Portis is paranoid that I may have the coronavirus, and it's so frustrating because I'm not sick.
A Philadelphia police officer has been shot and killed in the line of duty this morning. The officer shot while attempting to serve a warrant at a home. The police commissioner has identified the 46-year-old cop as a member of the city's SWAT team. And this is USA Radio News.
This is sponsored by Accenture. The 20th Annual Technology Vision Report from Accenture shows that although people are embedding technology into their lives more than ever before, organizations' attempts to meet their needs and expectations can fall short. Michael Biltz, Managing Director of the Accenture Technology Vision.
In a world where digital technology is everywhere, there's a tech clash between businesses and the technology models that aren't aligned with people's needs and expectations. To move forward, a new approach is required. Organizations need to focus on balancing their drive to create business value with their customers' and employees' values.
The report is based in part on a survey of more than 8,000 business executives and consumers. It identifies the key tech trends that will impact businesses over the next 3 years and counsels companies on how best to address the opportunities and challenges ahead. For more, please visit Accenture.com/technologyvision. That's Accenture.com/technologyvision.
The federal government's foremost expert on infectious disease, Dr. Anthony Fauci of the NIH, says coronavirus will be getting worse here in the United States before it gets better. But he says the cancellations and closures are a good start when it comes to combating the spread of it.
Obviously, what you're going to see is an acceleration of cases. What you hope to do is to get that peak become a little bit of a hump. Now, that hump's going to be still a lot of people going to get infected, but hopefully it will be much, much less.
Former Army whistleblower Chelsea Manning is now back home recovering from a suicide attempt in a Virginia prison cell on Wednesday. Yesterday, a judge ordered her release from prison. She had been held since last May for contempt for refusing to cooperate with a grand jury investigating WikiLeaks and its founder Julian Assange. The judge yesterday ruled that her testimony is no longer needed. And this is USA Radio News.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
Two major cruise lines are staying ashore as coronavirus spreads. Princess is stopping all cruises within the next 5 days, though it's continuing current itineraries until they're completed. This comes after two of its ships carried passengers who ended up testing positive for the virus, and one of those ships just docked this week in California. It took 3 days to disembark. And Viking Cruise is not immediately halting its ships, but says it will do so on May 1st. In the Major Leagues, baseball's Baltimore Orioles are updating the situation concerning their first baseman, Trey Mancini. They say he had a malignant tumor removed from his colon yesterday. It was discovered last week during a routine colonoscopy. The team says lab results and the timetable for Mancini's recovery will not be clear until sometime next week. The 27-year-old hit 35 home runs last season. And the Beastie Boys are back. Well, the trailer for a new documentary about them is out, and it teases the tale of three best friends who inspired the world, according to producers. The New York rappers hit it big in 1986 with their first album, Licensed to Ill, their story told by surviving members Mike Diamond and Adam Horovitz. The movie premieres on IMAX April 2nd and on Apple TV Plus on April 24th. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
As a business owner, when was the last time you asked yourself if you have the right commercial insurance coverage? You need business insurance to protect everything you're building. One disaster without the right insurance could hurt your business, and larger deals you're trying to close may require that you have it. We recommend CoverWallet for all your business insurance needs. In just 2 minutes, with their award-winning technology, they can offer you free competitive quotes from top insurance carriers nationwide. CoverWallet has helped tens of thousands of businesses, startups, restaurants, truckers, construction companies, landscaping companies, beauty salons, consultants, and they can help you. No business is too big or too small, and it's a free call to find out. Protect your business. Get the right insurance for your business. Call CoverWallet right now.
800-559-5523. 800-559-5523. That's 800-559-5523.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Well, as we used to say, you know, Mickey's big hand is on the hour. His little hand, that would be at about 6 minutes after, okay? And though Mickey, along with other big events are closing down as a result of the coronavirus, NBA, PGA right now saying possibly until the Masters, it is all being affected by the coronavirus as we're watching and being sensitive to what we know is social distancing. Huh? I mean, the last time I heard that, Dr. Michael Busler was, at our prom dance in high school when we had the chaperone saying, hey, you need to maintain some social distance.
Good morning, Bill. How are you? Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here. I remember those dances, too.
Yeah, you remember.
I'm not different to that. But
yeah, exactly. Dr. Michael Busler is with us, public policy analyst and economics professor. Dr. Busler, we're seeing that as expected, the stock market is rebounding. I guess in a sense, and I don't know, you can call me cynical, but, this is another manifestation of redistribution of wealth and the fact that even the stock market is not immune from letting a good, a good crisis go to waste. So here it is. You get all this pulling out going on, and I'm thinking, okay, well, it's going to come back because it has the capacity to be at, close to 28,000. So it's going to get back up there right away. But meanwhile, you're going to have people that have, sold, and then they're going to try to, again, have some great gains because as the market snaps back, as it will, there's some big money to be found there, and a lot of it is just what was formerly other people's money, right?
Yeah, you're right. So what happens in the stock market, what investors fear the most is uncertainty. If you knew what was going to happen, be it good or bad, you can deal with it. But you simply don't know what's going to happen and how severe this coronavirus is likely to get. There are some people with projections that say ultimately this could affect 40 to 50% of the population. I don't think it'll get that bad. I'm not a medical expert, but there's some that are saying that. And of course, if that happens, economic activity will pretty much grind to a halt. So where are we now in terms of the economy? Well, January and February were very good months for the economy. In fact, it looked like, had this coronavirus not hit, it looked like the stage was set for some pretty good growth in 2020. Perhaps it would have gotten over a 3% annual growth rate. Now, that's not going to happen with this coronavirus, just for the reasons you mentioned. The entertainment industry, the airline industry, cruise ships, sporting events, any place where people could gather in very close quarters, those things have been at least temporarily canceled. And that's going to be a fairly significant hit to the economy. The second quarter this year, April, May, June, we'll probably see negative growth. Now, whether that leads to a full-blown recession, technically you need two quarters in a row to get to call it a recession. I don't think that's going to happen. I was listening to some of the medical professionals, Dr. Fauci, who's in charge of this. He says what typically happens is with viruses like this, you get an increase in the number of cases that hits a peak and then starts to go down. He said we've seen that already in China. He expects it to happen in Italy and the rest of Europe relatively soon. So he thinks probably sometime in mid-April, this will probably peak and then start to go down. The other thing that is working somewhat in our favor is that flu viruses like this tend not to do very well in warm weather. Now, we don't know if that's the case with this one because it is brand new, but viruses like this tend not to do well in warm weather. Hot weather, they simply can't survive.
Exactly.
Viruses like this. So as the weather tends to warm up and we start to get into late spring and early summer, we should see the numbers go down. Now, you also talked about the stock market. While corporate profits are likely to be flat this year, that is, they're not going to grow from last year, corporations will still be profitable. Now, that may not be true in the airline industry, the cruise ship industry, et cetera. But for the rest of the economy, corporations are still profitable. And when you look at what their stock prices are today, they are real bargains. Mm-hmm. So as soon as I think the fear leaves the American public and investors in particular, but probably sometime in April, I think you'll see the stock market rebound very strongly. It'll then turn into a buyer's market. And you'll see prices go up, I think, significantly.
Yeah, and they will. They will definitely move up quick as fast as they came down. That's the way it traditionally occurs. I believe that, again, the left, the media has done it no favors. I appreciate the president's perspective. Being a businessman, Michael, all business people, I was talking with Liz Peek from Fox News yesterday about this, is that most business people look at these things and they try to do everything they can to hold the team together. You know, be optimistic. And this is what the president's being criticized for, is that, you know, they call him a liar and all kinds of other names. You know, the left is just doing everything they can to bruise up this president, especially, you know, we're just around the corner from November and his reelection campaign and that. They want to do everything they can to bruise him up because as they knew, and many have said, the economy is too strong that they really, behind closed doors, they're not very confident, especially with Joe Biden as their standard bearer, when Joe is, so obviously feeble. And his brain synapses are just not firing the way they should. I mean, the pundits, you know, Donna Brazile and others have said, well, that's cute. That's just Joe Biden being cute. Well, but when you compare his cuteness, of 10 years ago versus now, I mean, he looks rather feeble.
Yeah, Bill, you brought up a whole bunch of good points there. Number one, in the very beginning, what President Trump tried to do is to calm everybody, saying, look, we do have an issue here. We're going to do our best to minimize the effects of it. Let's not everybody overreact to this and start panicking. Otherwise, you're going to see things like the stock market collapse and people start to run around doing things that they really shouldn't be doing.
Well, like what happened in Upper State, New York. I mean, people are, diving into a Trader Joe's. I mean, and all this stuff, like a frenzy. I mean, that's not positive for our culture.
No, and he was trying to avoid that. He did his best to do that. He wasn't able to avoid avoid it, but I think he did the right thing. He also immediately reacted to this. As soon as we found out that this was a serious problem in China, he suspended all flights from China coming into the country, and he said anybody coming in, many of the people are going to have to be quarantined for a couple of weeks to make sure that there's no spread of the virus. And that
worked very well.
Now he says, look, the number of cases in China, new cases, has gone down, so they've reached their peak and are starting downward. However, many people from were visited China went to Europe.
Exactly. Michael, we got to go to break. Let's pick it up from there when we come back. More from Dr. Michael Bussler after this. Stay with us.
You've seen crazy diets to lose weight. At GCN Team, our healthy body weight loss system simply neutrophies the body, bringing down cravings. It has been proven that nutritional deficiencies drive appetite for carbs, sugars, and fats. Lose weight the easy way. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Fighting cravings is a fool's game. Give the body what it needs to be satisfied. Again, 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.
You hear the headlines. You know health insurance is a real mess right now. Premiums have skyrocketed, and in most cases, you're stuck with your plan until open enrollment. But there's a government rule that allows you to qualify for lower health insurance rates if your life has changed. That means if you've changed jobs, if you're having a child, if you're getting married, if you're getting divorced, even if you run a small business or you're self-employed, this law may qualify you to get lower health insurance rates. Call the Health Insurance Hotline today. Learn how this 10-minute call can help you get lower health insurance rates. This is a free service to help consumers learn the laws to help them qualify for lower health insurance rates. So call right now to learn more.
800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. 800-610-3630. That's 800-610-3630. Paid for by GoHealth.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
And it was Rudyard Kipling, I should say, who said, if you can keep your head when all about you are losing theirs and blaming it on you, if you can trust yourself when all men doubt you but make allowance for their doubting too, if you can wait and not be tired by waiting or being lied about, don't deal in lies or being hated, don't give way to hating, and yet don't look too good nor talk too wise. If you can dream and not make dreams your master, if you can think and not make thoughts your aim, if you can meet with triumph and disaster and treat these two imposters just the same. And you know the rest of it. Michael Bustler, good to have you with us. That's a good reminder, huh, from Rudyard Kipling?
Yeah, it certainly is. We have to try to keep this whole thing in perspective. It's a very difficult thing to do when there's so much fear going around. And most of the fear is because of the unknowns. But the more information that we get on this and the more actions we take to minimize the effects of this, I think the better off things are going to be. Look, so far, this has not been a major catastrophe yet. Mm-hmm. There's only been about 1,600 cases, only about 40 people that have passed away from this. I don't want to make light of the 40 people. Obviously, that's a tragic event. But for this flu season, there have been 34 million Americans affected by the flu and about 17,000 or 18,000 fatalities as a result of just the regular flu. So just to kind of put things in perspective, this is something that could be very serious, but we're doing everything we can to minimize it. And as a result, we're hoping that it doesn't get to be much more serious than we have it today. The numbers are going to go up.
Right.
We just would like to keep them from going up as much as possible. And as we mentioned before the break, President Trump, I think, has done some good things. Now, we have to admit, one failure has been to get an adequate number of testing kits out immediately,
right,
which we haven't been able to do. I'm told we're about a week and a half away from having more than sufficient supply, so we'll see what happened there. But
and two things have contributed to that, Michael. I mean, first of all, you know, and this is what we're learning along the way. I tell the kids all the time, experience defines preference. Well, a lot of Americans didn't realize by being so casual with the Chinese and allowing them to take over by stealing intellectual property and other means to control the biomedicals and these pharmaceutical grade drugs and supplies and everything. We just yielded everything to them, including mask and, you know, on and on, everything related. And then now they've come back with a threat to say, look at, you know, we'll cut you off. And if we're cut off, I mean, we're going to be that vulnerable. That's a security risk. And I think to Donald Trump's credit, again, he has been such an exposing agent that he's exposed the Chinese, their underbelly, for what they are. Though on the surface was President Xi, he can go down to Mar-a-Lago, they can have a nice dinner and picture ops and all that good stuff. But underneath all that is still a communist regime that's used to getting their way. And, you know, they have clear ambitions of ruling the world, lest we forget. And here they are, very close, and they could have done an incredible amount of damage. They knew about this back in November. We're not forthright, as we discussed before. And here we are, we're in a mad scramble. But through this whole process, watch what happens now, is that all of those pharmaceuticals and all that industry is going to come back to America where it needs to be, and we will have better control, because when it comes to distributing these kind of resources, America would never think in a heartbeat to hold back services of people who were sick and needed this, you know, this kind of help. But the Chinese threw it out there, and somebody could said, you know, somebody could come back and say, well, that was kind of like a Beto O'Rourke moment of saying he's going to take away everybody's. It doesn't matter. You know, once you say it and you put it out into the bloodstream, boy, I'll tell you, that's quite telling, and America needs to respond to that. We can no longer trust the Chinese. They have demonstrated time and again, just in this ordeal alone, that they're untrustworthy.
Yeah, you know, Bill, you bring up some excellent points there. The theory was 50 years ago, if we can normalize relations with China and start doing a lot of trade with them, as the two countries become dependent on each other, and we're dependent on them for making the goods. They really are dependent on us in most cases to purchase the goods. So they thought a good economic relationship would lead to better political relationships and tend to minimize any effect of anybody going to war, because you don't want to hurt your economic engine there. You also bring up a good point. There will be some long-term positive effects, I think, for the U.S. Already, because of the trade war, American companies were reevaluating whether they should single source their products in China. And within the last year or so, we've seen countries move production to Vietnam, to Thailand, and some of it coming back to the U.S. Now, fortunately, the reason that we're making them in China in the first place is their labor costs are so much lower than they are here in the U.S. So we shifted production there. Things were made much less expensively. That was generally good for the companies and for the American consumers, because we got to buy a lot of products at a more reasonable price. Now, because, just as you mentioned, certain key products like antibiotics, or I think 20 antibiotics that are specifically and entirely made in China, and a whole bunch of materials that go into other antibiotics. So what's going to happen, I think, is Americans, companies are going to say, listen, we can't afford from a security standpoint to have China make all these things and not being able to rely on them to have a good supply. So they're going to start to bring some of the production back. Now, labor costs in the U.S. are much, much higher than they are in China. So it looks like to be a disadvantage. But what's going to happen is they'll bring these manufacturing back to the U.S. And instead of setting up a labor intensive operation where they hire a lot of people, we'll manufacture using robots and artificial intelligence and more automation. So we'll be able to keep the cost at a more, at a reasonable place. Fortunately, when Congress cut taxes in 2018, they cut taxes for all Americans. So the middle class got a tax increase. So that increased demand and tended to stimulate the economy. They also cut taxes for the upper classes and corporations. That creates new capital.
Exactly.
So when manufacturing starts to come back here, there's plenty of new capital available for that to happen, and they should be able to produce those key products here using automation and robots and artificial intelligence, and they should be able to keep the cost reasonable so it doesn't have any negative impacts on inflation.
Well, lest we forget, Michael, you also have to consider into the equation democratic policies and regulations that chased U.S. business to China as well. And then we were willing to suspend any kind of consumer ethics over it, because basically we said, okay, we're going to support the sweatshops, in China. And this is what we've done. And the people who have said, look, at this is what you're going to do, and now their warnings have been lived out, but that's not being considered right now. Maybe in the bigger picture somewhere we'll have that conversation, but if we are a country of conscience, then we need to reevaluate this. And if we have to pay a dime more for something because it's made in the USA versus some sweatshop in China where people are underpaid and underappreciated, hey, let's move on. I mean, this is what freedom is all about. This is the American integrity. And this is what many people have been, you know, disturbed about with our reliance on China and the production of American goods there in China. Oh, by the way. And, of course, you know, the other thing is, you know, regarding the Democrats, I mean, here they are not letting a good crisis go to waste, as we've been saying, Michael, is that Nancy Pelosi figures, okay, the vault is open. We need money, you know, to attend to this coronavirus. You know, with urgency, and because we're opening up the vault, they can't help themselves, and they want to do add on, you know, figures and dollars out of, and take it out of the vault in order to satisfy their personal interests, not the interests of the people at large.
Yeah, we need something to help stimulate the economy and get us over this economic crunch that we're going to be in as a result of this virus. Mm-hmm. But the president, I think, has put forth a couple of good solutions there. One, we can just lower the Social Security tax by
100%,
even if it's only for a short time period.
We got about 5 seconds yet right now. Dr. Michael Busler here with Bill Martinez.
This is sponsored by Accenture. The 20th Annual Technology Vision Report from Accenture shows that although people are embedding technology into their lives more than ever before, organizations' attempts to meet their needs and expectations can fall short. Michael Biltz, Managing Director of the Accenture Technology Vision.
In a world where digital technology is everywhere, there's a tech clash between businesses and the technology models that aren't aligned with people's needs and expectations. To move forward, a new approach is required. Organizations need to focus on balancing their drive to create business value with their customers' and employees' values.
The report is based in part on a survey of more than 8,000 business executives and consumers. It identifies the key tech trends that will impact businesses over the next 3 years and counsels companies on how best to address the opportunities and challenges ahead. For more, please visit Accenture.com/technologyvision. That's Accenture.com/technologyvision.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
It's been quite a week for Americans who've learned that almost nothing in their daily lives is not being impacted by the coronavirus outbreak. There are over 1,700 cases of it in the United States. Over 40 people have died of it. New Rochelle, New York, northern New York City, has the highest cluster of cases in the nation. And this morning, a drive-through mobile coronavirus testing facility is open there. This man was one of the first to show up.
Everybody's so afraid and paranoid. Like, my own family in Portugal is paranoid that I may have the coronavirus. And it's so frustrating because I'm not sick.
A Philadelphia police officer has been shot and killed in the line of duty this morning. The officer shot while attempting to serve a warrant at a home. The police commissioner has identified the 46-year-old cop as a member of the city's SWAT team. And this is USA Radio News.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995. Immediately. That's 800-605-6995. Page Publishing is looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to them and give you their feedback. If they like what they read, they'll get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. They handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, then you need to call Page Publishing and do it immediately. Call 800-605-6995 now for your free author submission kit. Again, for your free author submission kit, call 800-605-6995. That's 800-605-6995. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call. Call Page Publishing at 800-605-6995 for your free author submission kit.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez live.
The silence of the mountains and the crashing of the sea. There lies a land I once lived in, and it's just waiting there for me. Cut in the gray of the morning, my mind.
Back with the America, just the way you like to hear from us, Monday through Friday, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific. I am Bill Martinez. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Hey, can we talk financial security? All right, think about it. You know, the secret to enjoying retirement is all about financial security. So the question is, are you prepared? Well, let's talk about it. You know, planning for retirement can be daunting with less Americans having a pension to cover their costs. Too many think they can rely on Social Security, which at best only covers about 40% of your income needs. More baby boomers approach retirement every year, and it's more important than ever to have a sound financial plan for the future. The Alliance for Lifetime Income, a nonprofit educational organization, is launching what they call the MUG Initiative. It's a new approach to retirement income planning. MUG stands for Medicine, Utilities, and Groceries. It's going to offer Americans a fresh approach to planning for a lifetime of income and retirement. MUG is about estimating and adding up your essential monthly expenses. You know, things like monthly prescriptions, utilities, or groceries, whatever you decide. Those are the essential expenses and costs you must pay for. Now, after you're done, the next step is to ensure that you have protected lifetime income. Makes sense, right? Like an annuity to help cover some of those essential expenses. Well, fortunately for us, we have Gene Chesky with us, a personal finance journalist and author. Gene, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bill.
Hey, I'm excited about this MUG initiative, the MUG initiative, you may call it, and talk about the initiative and how it's going to help our retirees plan for the future.
Yeah, so as you said, I like to say MUG rather than MUG. It's just easier, rolls off the tongue a little bit easier. You want to make sure you've got your MUG covered, and your MUG is your essential expenses. It can be medicine, utilities, groceries, your mortgage, utilities, and groceries. It could be health care. It could be transportation. The point is to figure out for you personally, what are your essential expenses going to be in retirement? And then where is the money to pay for those things for as long as you live going to come from? You mentioned Social Security, right? We'll get Social Security, but it only covers about 40% on average of our. Then we've got pensions, except that only 17% of people actually have them. Most people don't. So the question becomes, all right, you got a gap here. Where is the rest of this money going to come from? And the Alliance for Lifetime Income has done some research that shows that when people have it coming in the form of a supplemental retirement paycheck, by taking a chunk of whatever you've got in your 401k or your IRA or your other retirement account and converting it into an annuity that provides that retirement paycheck, people feel better because they know the money will be there for as long as they live.
Exactly. Well, this is a great idea, and this brings to bear a solution on this increasing problem that we're faced with here, Gene.
It does, and it brings out a way to get your brain, to wrap your brain around these numbers. I mean, often when people are talking about planning for retirement, they don't know where to begin. This gives you a place to begin, right? If you know that your essential expenses will be covered for the rest of your life, then you can stop worrying. It's not that you're going to take every last dollar in your retirement account and convert them using an annuity into protected income. You're going to leave some of it in those accounts. You're going to invest it so that you have continued growth, because we need that growth to keep up with inflation, because we're going to live a very, very long time. But knowing that those essential expenses are covered is something that only 29% of people are confident that they're going to be able to do at this point. And so taking steps to make sure that you're among the confident is a smart move.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with peace of mind, especially in your retirement years. And, Gene, I think that if people find themselves worrying about something, that that should be a motivator to, you know, start asking questions, to look into this. Because, as we all know, when we are better prepared, somehow peace of mind goes hand in hand with that, does it not?
I think so. And I think that the volatility in the markets over the past couple of weeks is just a reminder of how important it is to make sure that your essentials are shored up, right? I mean, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had just over the last couple of days about what do I do about the markets. The markets are up 1,000 points. They're down 1,000 points. How do I handle this? If you know that you don't have to sell out of panic because you know that your essentials are going to be provided for, that enables you to sleep a lot easier.
Exactly. Well, Gene is the financial editor of NBC's Today Show, an award-winning personal finance journalist, best-selling author, and obviously the go-to person, not only in the studios there at NBC, but along your network of friends that are calling you going, Gene, what do I do? Especially, as you say, with the volatility of the stock market, lots in the news these days, and we'd be thankful that the Fed decided to, you know, back off on the rate a little bit. This is going to be helpful, I think, in the long run for us.
Especially for anybody who's got a mortgage that they haven't refinanced since, say, mid-2018, right?
Exactly.
Bad.
Without a doubt. So what do you say, you know, to Americans who believe that they're going to be able to get by on Social Security?
I would say you better look at your numbers. Social Security is really going to cover only about 40% of what most people are living on before they enter retirement. And it was never set up to cover everything. The way it works is for people who are earning less, earning, you know, say you're earning about $50,000 a year, Social Security will cover a decent chunk of your monthly nut. But once you start earning $70,000, $90,000, $100,000+, Social Security covers less and less of what you are living on today. And that means you have a gap that you have to make up from other sources of protected income. There's a website set up by the not-for-profit Alliance for Lifetime Income, and it's protectedincome.org. There are tools there that you can use to figure out what your MUG is, what your essential expenses are, and how to cover them.
Well, I think that's wisdom, and really want to encourage all our listeners, you know, to go to the website and do a little bit of research and know that you know. I mean, I'm sure for some people, Gene, when they heard you say that Social Security covers about 40% of their MUG, I mean, that may be a little bit of a shock, and some people might be off to the side of the road pondering, you know, what they just heard. But, you know, look at, we want to get you out of the theoretical and get you into knowing for sure what you're dealing with, so you have that peace of mind that you deserve to have in your retirement years. I mean, you know, the one thing we enjoy about a retirement year is that maybe we can get off that hamster wheel, you know, for just a bit, right?
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, the goal is to have a modicum of income that will cover what you need. Mm-hmm. Then you can think on another track about the things that you want.
Well, Gene, we got to wrap this up. I appreciate the time. Again, remind everybody where they can go for more information.
Protectedincome.org.
This is Dan Perkins with your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. Do you remember where you were on February 23rd, 1945? A bunch of Marines were lifting a flag on Iwo Jima. The battle lasted 36 days, killing 5,931 Marines. Additionally, 209 Navy corpsmen and surgeons assigned to the Marines died, as well as soldiers, sailors, and airmen from other units. More than 110,000 Marines, sailors, soldiers, and airmen served, with more than 26,000 killed or wounded. So here's your veteran's tip of the day. As you walk by an American flag, stop for a moment and think of the tens of thousands of soldiers and sailors, and airmen, and Marines who were killed or wounded in those days in February of 1945. You will be better for thinking of them. This has been your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day.
This is sponsored by the Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation. Millions of people throughout the country are affected by rare diseases, yet many are unaware of the symptoms, risk factors, and treatment options. Pulmonary fibrosis is one of these diseases. Affecting more than 200,000 Americans, pulmonary fibrosis is a progressive, debilitating lung disease for which there is no known cure. Dr. Gregory Cosgrove, Chief Medical Officer, Pulmonary Fibrosis Foundation.
With more than 50,000 new cases diagnosed annually, it's important to be aware of the symptoms of pulmonary fibrosis, which include a persistent dry cough, fatigue, and shortness of breath. These symptoms are similar to many common illnesses, so pulmonary fibrosis is often misdiagnosed. Speak with your doctor if you have any of these symptoms.
While anyone can be affected by pulmonary fibrosis, smokers and former smokers age 60 or older are the most at risk. Visit aboutpf.org to learn more. Again, that's aboutpf.org.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses. Why? The answer is radio, the media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILING them.com.
Values, faith, service, they still exist here. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're committed to you, ladies and gentlemen, hoping that we're making your day here to be a blessing, because God has blessed us so much. And hey, look at we don't want to hold on to it. It just keep flowing through, right? 14 minutes before the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you can go to BillMartinezLive.com. Joni DiBurrito is joining us now. And Joni is, she's the director of parenting and youth at Focus on the Family, and she's back with us. Joni, good to have you with us. How are you? Oh, we don't have her. Oh, okay. All right. Okay. Okay. All right. Okay. Well, we're soon to connect with Joni DiBurrito. So, we're going to be talking about, Self-Harm Awareness Month. Hey, just by the way, I just got a flash bulletin that the Brazilian president has, tested positive for, COVID-19. You remember it was, his assistant who was determined to have a coronavirus, and the president had met with the president of Brazil and his other assistant, I guess his comms director, was it? Anyway, and at Mar-a-Lago, and they said, well, the president, you know, wasn't in contact, shouldn't be the case, but I got to imagine now White House staff is moving to make sure the president is unaffected, and that there's no, that somehow, because he was close to the president of Brazil, and also that one picture, he was close to the one infected constituent from Brazil. But that's the latest. Joni DiBurrito joins us now, as I mentioned, the director of parenting and youth at Focus on the Family. Joni, good to have you with us. How are you?
Thanks so much. Good morning.
Hey, something about, March and the coronavirus, and here we are about Self-Harm Awareness Month.
Yeah.
Somehow this all ties in, because what we're talking about here in terms of mitigating this, community spread of this virus is some, social common sense and awareness, and somehow there's, And then in the midst of this, we have let's talk about raising awareness about self-harm, because people do not realize how much self-harm takes place in our country.
Yes, there is a lot of it that goes on, especially among younger people, and it tends to start in that preteen or early teen area and then rise from there and continue sometimes into adult ages.
Now, has this been exacerbated because of the information age and the era of social media that has come into play?
Yeah, there is absolutely no question that that has a huge part in this particular issue. I know that so often when we're talking with people and kind of trying to figure out the source of that self-harm, it's not so much that the ideas start in social media, but they tend to get ramped up there. Unfortunately, there are actually sites that teach kids how to harm themselves in ways that will do the most harm.
Mm.
Pretty insidious,
yes.
And it's really sad that those are out there. And then, unfortunately, you know, kids, they really identify with their peers, and as they're communicating on online on social media, Facebook, Snapchat, etc., sometimes they'll get peers who encourage them to do more harm and to harm even in worse ways.
Oh, we've seen a situation. There was a court case, right? Wasn't it the girlfriend that pretty much told the boyfriend, well, just go ahead and kill you. You keep talking about killing, just go ahead and do it, right?
Yeah. I should mention, however, that self-harm and suicide are not the same thing. And because someone is self-harming, it doesn't mean that he or she is trying to die by suicide.
Right.
It could be that that puts the person at higher risk for suicide, but it's not always associated with that. Usually what it is a person's desire to be able to externalize the internal pain that they're feeling.
Mm-hmm.
So from the time we're little, if we get a cut or a burn or something, we feel that pain on our body somewhere. We feel the physical pain, and we know how to deal with it. When people feel emotional pain, it's much harder for them to deal with, so they try to find a way to externalize the pain and make it more real to them and also to the other people around them, to help other people know that they're hurting.
Is it gender specific?
It tends to be more common in girls, but it is it's an equal opportunity issue, actually.
Right.
It's definitely there for boys and girls as well.
What is it about emotions, Joni, that you know, seem to make it that much more difficult to deal with? Is it because it's so deep-seated that it just leaves, you know, so much of the unknown and the unfamiliar to deal with? What is it?
I think that's a part of it, Bill. I think the other part of it is that it's hard to put words and physical concrete pieces to emotional healing. So, again, if you cut yourself, you can see that you're bleeding and you can do something about it and other people can respond to you. If you are feeling a deep emotional pain, you can hide that for a long time from other people and sometimes even from yourself and not even realize how deep that wound goes. It's so interesting, you know, when you talk with people who have been in accidents or maybe people who have come back from serving in a war or something like that and seen combat, you'll hear them say over and over and over, I would take the physical pain over the emotional pain today.
Right.
I think it's just because we have so much more experience dealing with physical pain than emotional pain.
Well, it seems like there's something there in terms of, as you say, the experience and the expression, is that somehow you just got to be able to talk this out and find a place where you can begin to put words and make it more concrete, right? I think that's the challenge. So what does a parent do when suddenly they find their young daughter, or young son, demonstrating some signs of self-harm? What do they do?
Well, first of all, it's really important to try to engage in relationship with that son or daughter. And hopefully you've already built some seeds of a good relationship. And so it's important to talk about it. Some parents feel like, I saw something, but I'm afraid if I bring it up, it's going to make it worse. And it's just the opposite. When people are cutting or burning or harming themselves, sometimes they're doing that just in a way to soothe themselves, in a way to relieve their pain. But often they do want other people to know.
Mm-hmm.
And even if they don't want other people to know, it actually is good when other people find out because then they can respond by helping them. So if you see some signs, one sign might be, you know, if kids are wearing hoodies in the middle of a 90-degree, 90% humidity day, that's unusual. And that might be that a child is trying to hide something. And If you see a child who's isolating more and more and drawing more into himself or herself, that's just not normal behavior for adolescents. They will go through times when they want to be alone, and that's healthy, actually, but not long periods of time, days and weeks and months, where they're pretty much alone. And so if you see that, you want to reach out and say, hey, I've noticed some things that have been different recently, and I'm wondering what's going on. Are you struggling? Tell me about. I love the words tell me about. Because that's an open-ended question instead of, are you doing this, are you doing that, et cetera. And then you have to resist the urge to jump in and try to offer solutions and instead listen. The longer you listen, the more information you get as to how to help your child or maybe a friend of one of your children or maybe a kid in your youth group or just another youth that you know. And then that opens the door for you to help them try to explore ways to get help. There is a lot of help available for people who are harming themselves in counseling, professionals, medical professionals, et cetera. And it can be helpful if someone is really apt to be afraid to seek help, to say, hey, how about if I go with you? How about if we go together and I could go to the first appointment with you? You can talk, and if you're comfortable, then I can leave, and you can take it from there.
Exactly. Well, I think this is great advice, and what comes to mind is the old saying, the daylight is the greatest disinfectant. And in listening, you know, the objective is, you know, what we want to do is bring it out in the daylight, right? It isn't necessarily, let's find a solution. I think that's down the road. Immediately, it's like, okay, let them talk themselves out. And it's difficult. I mean, boy, I'll tell you, before you get into those kind of sessions, you need to be prayed up and make sure that a lot of grace is reigning in you and that you are there as a listener, not a fixer, because they need to get this out of the system. And by and large, we find that, as you say, these are deep-rooted, and you have no idea how long this is going. I know sometimes in different conversations, I have four boys and a girl, but particularly with my sons, I will have a perception where I think I know what the problem is, and what comes up is totally different altogether.
Absolutely.
And how embarrassing, and that's embarrassing, and it's, oh, man, I mean, you know, I can say that kind of in a funny way, but I mean, but it really is, it's just kind of like, you know, here's Dad, he knows it all, and you know, I think I've got it all together, and I already know the answer until I find out that I don't know the answer.
Yes, and but I'll tell you, kids appreciate so much their parents reaching out to them, even if they seem annoyed, even if they look as if, or they may say, get away, leave me alone, don't leave them alone, talk to them. I spent 16 years working on a college campus, running a college counseling center. And I saw this dynamic over and over, that in August or September, when kids would be left by their parents to start school, the parents were the ones upset. The kids were like, bye, Mom, bye, Dad, don't let the door hit you on the way out, and almost acting as if, just get out of my life. Let me tell you, within about 6 weeks of school and experiencing new roommates, new changes and stuff, they were on the phone talking to their parents, wanting to connect. Kids really want that connection with their parents, but in some ways it's not socially cool to do that, so they don't want to make it too obvious. And yet, over and over and over, kids will tell you, it was my mom, it was my dad, it was my sister, it was my brother, it was my pastor, it was my youth pastor, it was someone who took the time to say, I care about you, and I'm not buying that you're okay.
Right, exactly. Joni DeBrito from Focus on the Family, Self-Harm Awareness Month. It is this month. Where can they go for more information? Got 2 seconds.
You can go to 1-800-FAMILY.
In Wells, California, for the 8th Annual Contact in the Desert UFO Conference, May 29th to June 1st. Contact in the Desert is an epic weekend of adventure filled with exciting explorations into UFOs, ancient alien civilizations, crop circles, forbidden archaeology, disclosure, leading-edge science, and the newest evidence of ongoing contact, sightings, and leading-edge science. This amazing weekend offers lectures and workshops, exciting panels, and a luncheon that I'm hosting. Contact in the Desert also features leading experts, including Linda Moulton Howe, Paul Hellyer, Stephen Greer, Emery Smith, Russell Targ, Doc Wallach, Leslie Kane, and many important researchers and scientists from all over the world. With the breaking articles in the New York Times and acknowledged naval sightings, Contact in the Desert is your place for inside information. Join us at contactinthedesert.com to get your tickets today. It's time to make contact. That's contactinthedesert.com. contactinthedesert.com.